appreciate the songs and everything that's already been said and done. As we turn to, yes, oh, I'm sorry, I did forget something. See, I didn't write it down. She's got a couple of presentations to make here, so I'm sorry.
On behalf of the older teen youth group, and I hope I can get through this, we have a little something special for two of our high school graduates. As you know, once you're out of the high school, you move on out of our youth group as well. One of the graduates is not here today, but one is. And back when we first felt the Lord calling this group together, Sister Brady and I felt compelled that we needed to worship in our home with our children, and she brought this to her children, and her oldest son wasn't so sure about it, and she said, well, you need to try it, and he tried it, and he liked it, and he's been devoted to taking the time to spend with the Lord on Wednesday evening with his Christian friends. Brother Nicholas Brady, would you like to come up, please? It's on behalf of our youth group that we want to give you a token of our love and appreciation. You know, often people wear jewelry in our society to let people know something special about themselves. So we give him a piece of jewelry today for a different reason. We want him to look at this and be reminded that he has a church family that loves him, that they're looking at his future and what he'll do with it for the Lord's sake. We want him to look at this and also be reminded that wherever he goes, whatever the Lord has him to do, he'll never depart from him. He'll always be devoted to Nicholas, as devoted to Nicholas as Nicholas is to him, and as he has been to our young people, the type of example he's been, the way that he listens, the way he brings up thoughtful questions. He's inspirational, and we want to give you this bracelet that has the word devoted on it. Here you go. We also have another young lady here, and she's going through a lot with her grandmother right now, so we're really precious. We have a necklace for Lisa Finn. She's not able to be here, and it's got a heart with a floating cross on it to remind her that she's always a lady in Christ as long as she leans on him. And that he'll never leave her, and he'll be devoted to her in her walk with the Lord. We just want to thank you for your children and for the time that we have to work with them.
That was nice.
I would like to ask you again to pray for the message today, and I apologize to Sister Paulita for overlooking her. I want to share some scripture with you. If you'd like to read with me, turn to James chapter 4, the epistle of James chapter 4. I want to preach today, and I intend to preach today, the things that the Lord placed upon my heart. This message today might not cheer you up and make you feel bubbly. It may not make you shout hallelujah, but we need to hear what thus saith the Lord. And so I'd like to begin reading with verse 13 of James chapter 4 and read just a few verses. James wrote and said, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And I'm going to stop reading there with those verses from James chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. The title of my message today will be The Realities of Life. The Lord, as I said, burdened my heart with these thoughts and this message. And there are some realities to life that we need to face. And as we look into these scriptures, it seems that we live in a world today that people have a tendency to want to live a fantasy type life. I mean, there's all sorts of fantasy type of advertisement that we, that we see in the world today. Some of it is very deceiving to people. But it seems like that people have a tendency to let their minds wander and dwell in things that are fantasy. You may have seen some of the commercials on television. This is probably the poorest of illustrations, but it's what I thought of. I personally don't believe it. If you let yourself get out of shape and get way, way overweight, you can't look like Charles Atlas in 25 days. I mean, that's kind of, people just live with all of these, and you notice even in the commercials, when they give those and they tell people, look, in just a few minutes a day for the next 20 days or whatever, you can transform from this to this. And then they always put that disclosure down there at the bottom. Results may vary. You bet they will. For 99.9% of the people, the results will vary drastically. We need to face reality. And I believe that a lot of times that the reason that there are so many people in the world today that just don't care much for the preaching of God's Word, that don't want to take time to listen to God's Word, that some just don't want to hear God's Word, is because there are so many people that just don't like the reality that the truth sets forth. The Bible is a realistic writing. There are things that we are told in the Bible, so many things that we are told in the Scriptures, where it just very plainly tells us this is the truth, this is the reality of the situation, this is the way that it is, and this is the way that it will be. And there are many people, as I said, that I believe don't like that. They would rather, in the imagination of their thoughts, they would rather live in some type of world that they concoct in their mind that's just not real. It's more of a fantasy land. to keep them from really having to look at life. But you know, it will never help you in any situation that you face. It will never help you to live in denial of the facts. It will never help you to live in denial of the truth. And I know that there have been people, and you know, I don't know how that you feel about this. I don't know how that all of you feel about this. I know how that I was raised. I know how that I tried to raise my own children. But there are people that when their children are young, maybe 6 or 7 years old, I've known people that would not take their child to a funeral. Well, we always did, and I was always taken. And I always thought, you know, I don't want to hide this reality from my children. I want them to know, as soon as they were old enough to know, I wanted them to know that death is a reality. And I never tried to shield them from that. In this epistle of James, in these verses that I read before you today, James lays out some very basic facts and realities about life that I would like to talk to you about today, and these scriptures along with others. One of the things that I want to talk about, one of the facts that he made, and this is something that I believe there are many people yet in the world today that don't want to face this very reality, and that is that no matter what day that you live in, even though that you and I live in the day now when the average life expectancy was perhaps higher than it was maybe 40 or 50 years ago, regardless of that, life is a vapor. Even for those in the Bible that used to live many years above what we live now, their life still passed like a vapor. It's just a fact that life, the earthly life that we live here in this world, is something that's very short. And that's one of the things that James pointed out in these scriptures. He asked the question, what is your life? And then he answered it. He said, it is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away. And so I want you to keep that in mind, if you would. Another thing that he pointed out was that we do not have knowledge of what's going to happen tomorrow. That's a reality. And let me say this, that you should exercise extreme caution when you're making your plans and leaving God out. Be very careful not to plan out and lay out a roadmap for your life without consulting God and just leave Him out of the picture. And so that was another thing that he pointed out in these scriptures, that you and I just simply don't have the knowledge of what's waiting us, not just 10 years down the road or 15 years down the road. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't even know if tomorrow's coming. And that's something else that he pointed out in these scriptures. I want to read that to you again. It said, go to now, or come on now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. And he went on and he told them that the way that they should live and the way that they should approach it is that they ought to be saying, if the Lord is willing, we will live and we will do these things. Now, my old grandfather, he used to, he had a story about these scriptures that he used to tell me when I was a boy. And he said that there was a man that had a cow, and he was going to take his cow and sell it. And he was leading his cow up the road, and he went by his neighbor's house, and his neighbor said, "Where are you going?" And he said, "I'm going into town and sell this cow." And his neighbor told him, he said, "You shouldn't say that." He said, "You should say that you're going into town and sell the cow if God is willing." And the man said, "Nope, you know, this is not between God and me. This is between me and the man in town. God doesn't have anything to do with it. I'm going in and sell the cow." And so he went on, and he went on up the road, and not far up the road, a band of thieves and thugs jumped him and beat him up and took his cow. And he was going back home. He started back, and he passed his neighbor again. And his neighbor said, "What happened?" And he said, "Well, just up the road from your house, I got jumped by some thugs and thieves, and they beat me up, and they stole my cow." And his neighbor said, "Well, what are you going to do now?" And he said, "I'm going home if God is willing." And, you know, sometimes we learn lessons the hard way, don't we? But I'll tell you what, friends, and I want you to know today that this is a scriptural reality of life, that you and I are not going to do anything without God. We're not going to accomplish anything without God. You may have noticed, if you looked at the bulletin this morning, you may have noticed that I was trying to get us to pray about revival. We need the help of God. We need to pray. We need to depend upon God if we are going to have revival, because we are not going to get anything done and anything accomplished without Him. We're going to do the things that God will. And all too often, I'm afraid that even in the families of Christian people, I'm afraid that all too often we lay out everything before us, and we make all of these big plans about life, and oftentimes we ourselves drift off into some kind of fantasy about the things that we are going to do and the things that are going to happen, and we leave God completely out of the planning. James said that this type of boasting is evil. You know, you and I, if we are doing that very thing, if we are planning all of these things out for something ahead that we don't even know that it's going to come, and we are boasting of the things that we're going to do, you know, 5 years down the road, this is what I'm going to do, and then 10 years down the road, this is what I'm going to do, and I'm going to eventually end up at this juncture, and this is how I'm going to spend my retirement, and these are the things that I'm going to do, you know, when I get older. And we've laid all this out. James said, such boastings in those things are evil, and they are. Jesus taught us to live for the day. He said, don't even take thought for tomorrow, because tomorrow will take thought for itself. Sufficient for the day is the evil thereof. Somebody, you know, and I don't believe anybody here today would dare tell me that you know what's going to happen tomorrow. We know. We're all aware that we just don't have that type of knowledge. People today, it seems that they want to live, and I guess it's always been this way to some extent, They want to live a life of fun. I mean, we live in a world where entertainment's the big thing, isn't it? I mean, cinema has captured the minds of people, even many Christian people. Cinema has captured the minds of people to where their hearts and minds are so distracted from God. And oftentimes we're living in this world that's made up in the movies rather than in reality. And our kids are exposed to more and more of that all the time. You know what? When I was a kid, when I was a child, something like Star Wars would have been unimaginable to have seen something like what children are exposed to today. And I'm really not that old. In fact, I'm a pretty young guy. And so there's a lot of things in life that are just unrealistic. And many people are so, it seems, they're so caught up in those things. And they affect us as well. Don't think that they don't. They do. They affect us as well. We need to get back to the basics. We need to get back to reality. We need to take a look at this good old book and see what the Bible here really tells us about life. Let me tell you what it seemed like to me. I got married to the lady that I'm married to right now in October of 1977. And before Shirley and I got married, we had already decided that when we did get married, that we wanted to start a family right away. And so between August 14th of 1978 and March 17th of 1982, God blessed the union of our marriage with three beautiful, happy, healthy children. And I'm going to tell you that, and I'm sure that many of you here today as older parents will be able to relate to this, but this is what it seemed like to me. It seemed like that I had three little children sitting on the floor playing with their toys without a care in the world, and I closed my eyes long enough to take a blink, and when I opened my eyes and looked back at them, I had three children that were adults. Now that's how quickly their childhood seemed to me that it passed. And I have told several times, I have told young parents, I've said, you know, you need to enjoy your little children as much as you possibly can. You need to enjoy your little children because their childhood is going to pass them by and pass before your eyes before you even realize that it's going to go quicker than you even realize. And one time somebody told me, they said, Brother Miller, why did you tell me that? Because now I'm depressed. But you know, be that as it may, friends, that's the reality of things, isn't it? Our life is a vapor. It's a vapor. And before we know it, it'll be over. You know, for every one of us here today, I want you to know that the reality is, you know, sometimes we may think of eternity as being something way out there in the future, but you know, for every one of us today that are here, we're going to step out of time into eternity quicker than what we even realize that we are. And, you know, if you are saved and ready to go, there's nothing wrong with that. That's all right. We'll be in a better place. But I want you to know if you're here today and you're lost, that your opportunity to get saved, friends, listen, is much more limited than what you even realize. And none of us, as I've already said, none of us have a promise of tomorrow. All that we know is that our life is a vapor and that we have what's before us right now, that we are here and we are right now currently living and breathing. Whether or not we're going to be doing that tomorrow, God only knows. We don't. But I'll tell you one thing, that your opportunity to be saved falls within a very small window. It's very limited. We have, and I certainly don't want to hurt anybody's feelings today. We have two very sweet, dear sisters in our church that have recently been diagnosed with cancer. And you know what? Whether or not that will claim their life, only God knows. Only God knows. You see, I'm a firm believer that God is in control of our days. And God is going to give unto me, and He's going to give unto you our allotted days on earth. The Bible teaches me that God has set boundaries, and we just simply cannot pass those boundaries. But the reason I brought that up is I wanted to say this, that I have talked with both of these dear ladies, and they have touched my heart with their Christian attitude because neither of them, wanted to deny the things that they were told or turn away from them, but they were so willing to face the reality. And friends, listen, that's what you need to do here today, especially if you're not saved. You need to face reality today. You don't need to push God away and just walk out of His house like there's nothing wrong. You need to use every moment that the Lord will allow to you to seek Him and cry out to Him until you know that you have been saved by His grace, because you don't know what's going to be on tomorrow. You know, let me tell you something. You may be young and you may be out there and you may be having all sorts of fun in the world with your school friends and your sports friends and the friends that you hang around with and whatever it is that you're doing, and you may think you've got life by the tail. I mean, you may think you've really got a handle on life. You may think you've got a hold of life, and you may feel invincible because you're young, and you may think that death, though you know it's something that's going to come, that it's something that's going to come way out there in the future sometime when you're old. You know, oftentimes children are even deceived by their parents when they ask about death, when they inquire about death, because, you know, many times children will do that at a young age. They'll inquire about death, and the parents will say, well, yes, honey, that's something we've got to face, but it's a long ways off. Maybe not. I want you to know something today. I've walked through cemeteries all over this country, and I've seen people buried from the time of their infancy all the way up to 90, 95, 100 years old. Death doesn't have any certain age. Only God knows when it's coming. I'm confident that right here today, as I stand before you and bring this message to you today, I'm confident that the Lord in heaven already knows when my final day on earth will be. He knows where I'm going to be when I die. He knows the situation that I'll be under when I die. I've heard many people told by doctors, and I've told you before that I have great respect for the doctors, and I'm thankful that God has given those gifts unto men. But you know, doctors aren't God. And I've heard many people told things by the doctors that, it just didn't turn out that way. And that, I believe, it just shows all of us that God is in control of life and nobody else. Nobody else. God. God's in control. But listen to me, lost friend. Listen to God. Listen to His word. Life here is not about fun. That may sound cold to you, but it's not. Life here is not about fun. It's not about entertainment. It's not a big joyride like people have made it out to be. I'll tell you, when I was a young boy growing up in the Missionary Baptist churches, there was an old phrase that the preachers used to use oftentimes when they preached. And they would tell us that this world is a place to prepare for the world to come. And listen, that ought to be what this life is about to you. That ought to be the priority of your life, that while you have this little window of time here, that you prepare for the life that is to come. If we look at the reality of what the scriptures tell us about this life that we live here in this world, it's not a big joyride. Not if you look at it realistically. Job spoke about this life. And you know what he said about it? Job chapter 14, verse 1, he said, man that is born a woman, man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. Full of trouble. Haven't you seen that in your life? Those of you that are here today, that are what we would consider, and I'll refrain from old, I'll say those of advanced years. Haven't you seen the troubles of life? It's true, isn't it? We're born into this world. We live in a troubled world. Before you know it, I mean, we're born and we begin to grow and we're strong and we're healthy and we feel like we could whip a bear, sleep on a bed of nails. I mean, we just, you know, we feel strong and vigorous and healthy. And just like that, almost overnight, the body begins to ache. We begin to see that our strength is leaving. We begin to know the realization of what Paul spoke about when he said, the outward man perishes. The outward man perishes. But thank God that the inward man is renewed day by day. You see, that's reality. We're born. We live a short time. We see all sorts of trouble in between. And then we die. And we go out into eternity. That is the life that the Bible depicts. That's the life that the Bible tells us about. Not something that lasts a long time and is just filled with all kinds of joy and pleasure. It talks about something that lasts a short time and is filled with troubles and trials. I'm glad today, and I want you to know this today. I want everybody here today to know this. And I don't have any reservations about it. I feel this way in my heart, and I'm thankful that I've got something that God gave me that allows me to feel this way in my heart. I want you to know today that I'm happy and I'm thankful and I praise God for the knowledge and the assurance that this world here is just not my home.
It's just not my home. I'm only passing through here. Friends, listen, I'm only on a journey today. I stopped by here for a little while to share with you the message of God this morning. If the Lord is willing, perhaps I'll share it with you again this next week. If God gives that to us, perhaps He will and perhaps He won't. But I want you to know today, when I stand up here and preach or try to preach to you the things that God places on my heart, I want you to know that you're looking at a traveler today. I'm just passing through this low land of sin and sorrow. I'm like the man there that Bunyan wrote about in the Pilgrim's Progress. I'm on my way to that better place. And before you know it, I'm going to get there. I mean, listen, I don't have very much time left, and I know that I don't, because I've already spent 51 years, and the Bible tells me that when I was born, I only had a few days. I mean, I only had a few days when I started my journey, and I've already spent 51 years of that, and I know that I'm not going to be here much longer, and before I know it, my feet will step off on the golden shores of heaven, and I'll be at home. And I'll tell you what, that's an awesome thought to me. That's reality to me. That's reality. The things that I have in God, the things that I feel in my heart that the Lord put there, the things that God assures me of, they're a lot more real to me than many of the things here on the earth. I'm going. Friends, I'm going to that land. You may get there before me. I may get there before you. We're all going. We're all going out into eternity. We're either going to the place that God has prepared for His people, a beautiful heaven for us to rest and a place to retire, or you're lost and you're headed for hell, friends. That's the reality of it. If you're lost right now, you are headed for hell. You know, when this watered-down gospel that you hear so much of today, when it hit the shores of America, those that promoted it, one of the things that they wanted to see done was they wanted the fire and brimstone preaching, they wanted it toned down. They didn't want that type of preaching. They wanted people to just simply be told about the love of God and how much God loves us. Well, He certainly does love us. But I'll tell you what, for those that don't turn to Him and be saved, you're going to go to a devil's hell. And that's the reality of it. You're on your way there right now. If you are lost and in your sins, you're on your way there right now. If you fail to seek the Lord and be saved, then you're going to end up there. I believe it always behooves us to look at reality. Look at the truth. Look at what God says, not what somebody might set before you as some type of fantasy or something that's not real, but just look at the reality. The reality is you need to be saved. You need to be saved. I appreciate your attention. I know my thoughts have been scattered. I hope that you're able to glean something from what's been said that will be helpful to you. I commend the effort to the Lord for Him to use.
I'd like to ask Brother Sanford,